How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. As always, I give the reminder is where you can find the show: on Audioboom, on iTunes, on Silver Screen and Roll, on Stitcher, and on TuneIn. And then the other ones that,
SoundCloud again, I'm going to fight you this time. Either put it on SoundCloud or stop mentioning it.
All right. I'm not trying anymore to put it on SoundCloud.
All right, man. All right, we're off to a great start today.
We're actually in a fight. So we talk about Kobe one time, and then we become terrible teammates. That's weird how that turns out.
Kobe better.
So today's show, this is going to run on a Wednesday, but on Monday's show, we got to talk to Jeff Garcia about also of the Locked On Lakers. He hosts the Locked On Spurs show. We got to talk to him about, you know, this Kobe Duncan dynamic, the comparison, celebrating the two guys, and as we expected, the reaction has been pretty emotional on both sides of this debate, right? Spurs fans think it's obvious that Duncan is the better player. Lakers fans think it's obvious that Kobe is the better player. So Harrison and I, we're gonna talk, about a couple points on that, kind of react to the reaction about it. And then we're going to go into a little game that we're going to play called hashtag Future Laker, which is always fun, and it never rubs other fan bases the wrong way at all. And then finally,
hashtag Harrison's, Future Irritant.
Yeah. And then finally, Harrison is going to wrap up the show with his hot takes that he usually gives on Monday. But we decided, because the hot takes were going to be coming in anyway regarding Kobe and Duncan, we'd push the hot takes to Wednesday. And then just a brief note before we move on further into shows, for the rest of this month. Most of the year, we're going to be doing a show Monday through Friday, a daily show Monday through Friday, varying, on length, depending on what all there is to talk about. But in August, because there's so little to talk about, we're going to be pushing back to about two or three times a week, usually in that Monday, Wednesday, Friday range. If there is enough to talk about to talk daily, great. We'll try to do that. But it's just that time of year where it's a little tough to piece together podcasts daily that don't sound like the same exact thing every single day.
Yeah, and obviously if stuff happens, like when Nick Young gets waived or traded or whatever, we're going to have a podcast that day. That's what we do. We're going to come to you guys, and we're going to give you some reaction on stuff that's happening. But when nothing's happening, we're going to do our best to continue to get some good content for you guys, but it's just not going to be daily.
Exactly. All right, so today's show, like I said, we're going to start with the Kobe Tim Duncan reaction. And we got one comment. So obviously it was a whole bunch of Kobe better, Kobe's this, Kobe's that. Then on the other side, Duncan's this, Duncan's that, the Duncan's whatever. But there was one comment that kind of stood out to me, because it's a recycled take that I think is kind of flawed. So I'll go ahead and let you read the comment. I don't know if you want to give the shout out to the guy.
You're terrible at this. You know that? Like, you tell me like, no, you aren't going to have to read the comment. So I scroll away from it. So hold on.
I mean, the general, we can paraphrase if you want.
So you could argue Kobe was never the one guy responded to our tweet, and he said, you could argue Kobe was never definitively the best player in the league during his era. And I know you have a problem with that take, just in general, because this guy is, he's certainly not the first person to make it. We were kind of getting into this before the show, so I think everybody would want to hear what you have to say.
I don't know about everybody. I don't think Spurs want to hear that. Spurs fans want to hear it, but
they want to be mad at you.
So. All right. So here's the thing. And this is something that, like, I hear from Amin Al-Hassan, you know, of ESPN. I hear him say that kind of thing all the time, or if it's Snotty on Twitter, or other people who enjoy poking Lakers, especially Kobe's fans. And look, I'll say this. It's fun to poke Kobe's fans. Like, it's a lot of fun to poke and prod them into some kind of reaction. But my issue with this comment, or with this take, is that it was such a great era of basketball that I don't know if anybody was ever definitively the best player in the league during that stretch, right? When you had Shaq in his prime, you had KG in his prime, you had Duncan in his prime, Kobe, obviously. You have all kinds of great players. Rasheed Wallace had a stretch where he was ridiculously good, right? Also, he was as good at basketball as he was at picking up technical fouls. So, In this era,
hard to believe, but true.
In this era, I find it flawed logically to hold that against somebody that he wasn't definitively the best player in what I would argue was as individually talented as any era in NBA history. Right? There might have been eras where teams were better. You know, like the golden age of basketball was the 80s when you had 8 or 9 Hall of Famers going up against each other in NBA championships. Like that, all right, fine. I'll take, you know, the L, and I'll say that was a stronger era of team. But in terms of the individual talent during Kobe's prime, I just don't think you're going to do much better than that. And if you're going to say, yeah, he was never definitively the best player in such a great era, well, was he among the best? Was he a top 5 player for a large portion of that stretch? And then on top of that, there are seasons that you can actually make that claim.
Top 3, yeah. Top 2 for most of the year, for a lot of the years in the middle stretch there.
For that decade, you could make the argument, right? For that, yeah. For all of that, you know, from 2000 to 2010, I don't think you're going to find many better players than Kobe Bryant. And that was a really effing good stretch of basketball. So you actually brought up specific seasons where there is a claim that he could have been the best player. Are there any seasons that stand out to you in particular that this flaw, or this logic becomes even more flawed because there is actually a claim that you can make?
I think the 2005-2006 season was one of those. And I think this is like pretty, if we're talking about recycled takes, I'm definitely not the first person to say this, but I think that Steve Nash won that MVP in large part based on narrative more so than just his, like, the transcendence of his individual play. Obviously he was great, but I think that Kobe that year, you could definitely say, was definitively the best player in the NBA, and he didn't get the MVP because his supporting cast was like a moldy garbage disposal unit. It was just like, it was really bad. It was Lamar Odom and like Smush Parker and I think Chris Mim, it was in there somewhere. it was not a strong time for overall Lakers basketball. And so I think that year you could definitively say he was the best player in the league, but I'm sure I'd receive pushback on that from, you know, the nerdy stat nerds that are going to throw their numbers at me. But right. I'm being sarcastic. But in my opinion, he was the best player in the league that year. And I think while it was obviously close, I think you can definitively say he was the best player in the league last year. So I'd kind of disagree with the premise of that take entirely, that he was never definitively the best player in the league. I think there were definitely moments throughout his career where that was absolutely true, that you know, there was not a single player in the league that if you had to win one game, you would want to start your team with more.
Right. And that's the other thing, too, is that when we talk about definitively, right, the word itself is arbitrary. Somebody, yeah, who
it's almost an oxymoron. It's like definitively this subjective thing,
right? Like this year stands as a really good example that, definitively speaking, in the regular season, Steph Curry was the best player in the NBA.
Yeah,
right. Statistically speaking, he was the absolute best player in the NBA, first ever unanimous Hall of Famer. Right, But
unanimous MVP.
What'd I say?
You said Hall of Famer. Although he's going to get there. So, yeah, I mean, you might have just predicted the future. Hashtag Irwin bomb.
Yeah. Usually Irwin bombs are terrible jokes, but here I am being prescient. But with him being the unanimous MVP, in the finals, he wasn't the best player in the NBA, right? And the narrative heading into that series was Steph is still the best player in the NBA. You know, he's statistically had this ridiculous season and all that stuff. But the narrative after the finals, because we had results to work with, were, all right, enough of that Steph is the best player in the NBA stuff. LeBron is now, or he remains the best player in the NBA. And it's like, how about instead of, you know, trying to definitively say anything or knock somebody for not being, you know, definitively better than everybody else, we just say the era that they're playing in is really good. Like the era of basketball that we're watching right now is really good. And there are multiple really good players. And because one guy is not, according to literally everybody on the planet, better than everybody else that's playing in the NBA, because that isn't the case, that we are now going to hold that against that player, it's a stupid argument.
Believe that there, like, it's crazy. Like, can you believe that there wasn't a consensus on who was the best player throughout Kobe's career? It's like, it's almost like that's like an unprecedented situation that people disagree on that.
You're right. Right. And again, it's hilarious that like the people try to hold that against somebody. It's beyond ridiculous to me, because for, like you said, for stretches, you could name anybody, right? Like that Dirk Mavericks team. Dirk was the MVP, and then they lost in that first round series to Baron Davis.
That was 2006, 2007.
Right. And Dirk, you know, according to the way the MVP ballot came out, was, you know, I guess a consensus best player or most valuable player, right? But then look how that playoff series turns out. And does that mean that now Dirk wasn't as good as we thought he was? Or does that mean that Baron Davis should have been considered the best player in the league? or do we just say it was a terrible matchup? Both teams had really good players, and one just happened to win because a team winds up having to win a series.
So. Yeah, and I think it's hard to say, like, because there are so many good players in the NBA, it's hard to say anyone is the best player for the entire season. Like, there are going to be moments where other guys are playing better. Like, that year that Kobe scored 81, that specific Sunday, there was not a better player in the NBA. Like, there was not, you know, like,
yeah,
it's hard to sustain that greatness, and it's hard to kind of judge and say that someone was definitely the best player for an entire 82 game season. Like, they weren't the best player every single night. Steph Curry had bad games this year, just like Kobe had bad games that year that he didn't win the MVP. Nash had bad games that year. You know, like, no one is the best player every single night. And I guess that's probably not the argument the guy was trying to make, but when you boil it down, that's kind of what someone's saying, is that, like, consensus, when they talk about consensus best player.
Like, I would take it a step further and say, you know, because there is one player that stands out as, you know, he was the consensus best player for a vast majority of his career, and that was MJ, right?
Yeah.
But I would say that's as much a knock on the era he played in as it was a testament to how great he was. Now,
I'd say it's a little more of a testament to how great he was, but I overall agree with you.
Right. So you know, does the same argument get made for Larry Bird during, you know, while he and Magic were in the league together?
Guy wasn't, like, even good.
Like do people say like Larry Bird wasn't the best player at you know, for the majority of the time he was playing against Magic, and then vice versa? But do we ever look back on those guys and say they weren't great? Like, I'm sorry, that's the logic is flawed.
Their whole thing is they get compared to each other. You can't bring up one without the other.
Exactly. So that's a rehashed take that shouldn't have come up in the first place, right? And now that it has, and it came up in this, you know, forum, in this discussion I felt the need to talk about it. And also, you know, because I see it on Twitter a bunch, I'm not going to reply to everybody whoever uses it, you know, because it requires such a long explanation. But
no, you reply with a link to this podcast. It's like, hey, if you tweet this, we will have a 20-minute breakdown of your 140-character tweet on our mm-hmm. podcast, and that'll show them.
Yep, that'll show them. All right, so the next point that I wanted to make or bring up in this reaction to the discussion yesterday, and I'm going to say this as a general disclaimer, and I'm not going to rant on this, but yesterday was the first time we spoke to Jeff for an extended ever, actually. And what I didn't want to do as a host was welcome somebody in and bombard him with Kobe takes, right? Because at the end of the day, he's doing...
We wait for the second show to do that.
Right, yeah. Or where we're in person and we've all had a couple beers and we all get to be a little bit more unfiltered, right? But with the show yesterday, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to give hot takes, period. But two, I just don't think that's the forum to do that. At the end of the day, we're all on the same team. And I love the point that he made before we went on the air, that instead of comparing the guys, let's celebrate both careers because we were fortunate to see those guys for such a long period of time. So with that said, the point that I wanted to make that I didn't make yesterday, I had it written down and I didn't wind up making it because it seems like a shot at Duncan. And it is kind of a shot at Duncan compared to, a take pro Kobe. But Duncan never won back-to-back titles. And while people want to say, you know, want to point to, well, Kobe would have never won a three-peat without Shaq. Well, Duncan never had Shaq, and he never won back-to-backs, right? So I don't know if it's necessarily a direct correlation or if there are two directly linked points, you know, that one is a counter to the other directly. But I do think there is something to be said about how hard it is to win titles back to back. And Kobe did it twice in two different.
The second time that he repeated, it did not have Shaq. People forget that. Mm-hmm. And he had went to the finals the year before and lost. And mm-hmm. so like the grind that takes to get back there three consecutive years and then win the second two, win the last one in like a game seven where like he did not probably shoot as well as he would have liked, but he was still like the Lakers were better with him on the floor that game because of his rebounding and because of his kind of daring Rondo to shoot and
get into the line.
Yeah, exactly. So I think like that is that's like a different kind of greatness to be able to get there every single year, just propel your team, even though obviously he had a great supporting cast, but like spoiler alert, so did Tim Duncan and they didn't get back.
Everybody who's ever made it there.
Yeah. And they didn't repeat. And they did get back there 2 years in a row when they won their last title. They lost the first year, but they didn't go back a third time. And I don't know that should definitely be held against Duncan, but in some ways it is like a case for Kobe. It's very hard to continue getting your team back there year after year after year.
Well, even to that point, so Steve Kerr said, I believe on the Bill Simmons podcast that I listened to forever ago when Steve Kerr was still doing, it was still the BS report for one, and Kerr was still doing interviews. But he said that, you know, people think that, you know, Jordan steps away and that ruins a stretch where they could have won seven or eight titles in a row, but that just wasn't the case. That by the time that third title ended, that entire team was exhausted because of the type of grueling for one, the regular season sucks on a professional athlete's body. And then the playoff game is basically, you know, you're playing twice as hard for 48 minutes as you do in the regular season. So doing that 3 years in a row, right? So doing that 3 years in a row for four series in a row, that builds up that takes quite a bit of stamina to make it there. And again, anytime you're talking about greatness at this level, at this elite level, you are forced to split hairs. And in this respect, when you split this hair in particular, it winds up looking a little bit better on Kobe's resume because this is such a tough task to do as often as he did it. And honestly, it explains to a certain extent, and it doesn't excuse it by any means, but it explains to a certain extent why Kobe's lows were so much lower than Duncan's, because of how high those highs were, right? Getting there for those stretches of 4 or 5 years in a row where they are either in the, you know, in the finals or, you know, and winning them, or getting there and losing them. All of that is really taxing on the body and really taxing on an organization, because you wind up having to gut your future to continue to contend like that. So just that was something that I didn't mention in the show.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The Lakers have some type of lull where they had no young players and their whole core aged out after their last titles. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm never really. So, so that was just something that I could have mentioned in the show, and I had planned on mentioning it in the show, but at the end of the day, I actually liked the angle that Jeff wanted to take, where we talked more about, you know, how fortunate we were to be able to enjoy those guys for the teams that we rooted for respectively. So
yeah, and again, something to keep in mind. Yeah, I just want to say, like, it sounds like we're bashing on Tim Duncan. Go back and listen to yesterday's show. I just listened to it this morning. We both have a ton of respect for Tim Duncan and think he was an amazing player. And so this isn't just a rag on Tim Duncan and say, oh, hashtag Kobe better. We just think that there are some arguments to be made that we didn't necessarily get across yesterday.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get into the game that everybody around the league loves because it's not insufferable at all by Lakers fans to partake in this game. We're going to play hashtag future Laker, and we're going to focus on the dream team. I'll go ahead and I'll start by asking you, which – or not the dream team, but on the Team USA.
Yeah, I was going to say dream team USA is a little strong with all the holdouts that we had this year. Maybe like the nap team, like the team, like maybe if you're just taking like a 20-minute nap, this is the team you dream of. Like, I don't know.
Power nap.
Like you're kind of falling asleep at work a little bit and you're kind of dozing off and you think about this team.
Yeah, the team that the kind of nap you get while listening to us drone on about naps.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't go to sleep. Right, wake up.
So, which guy on Team USA do you think is most likely to wind up a Laker?
Well, so I'm go through the roster and like Carmelo, he had his chance. Harrison Barnes just signed a long term deal. Jimmy Butler. That's a maybe if the Bulls start to look to trade guys, but I kind of doubt it. But I think I'm going to go with DeMarcus Cousins. I'm shooting my shot. I think he's kind of the most likely big trade candidate on there, and I think that the Lakers, you know, definitely would consider making a move for him.
And also, he is almost definitely not signing an extension in Sacramento or re-signing by the time that time comes around.
Like he tweeted like 5 or 6 years ago before he was in, or like however long ago before he was in the league, let's go Lakers one time. So, you know, if you connect the dots, I think he basically just said, like, I'm signing with the Lakers and free agency Kings, like before he even knew the Kings were going to draft him. So, I mean, he was obviously really committed. I think.
Hashtag Boogie La La Land confirmed. That's
yeah. Boogie to LA confirmed. Hashtag mm-hmm. future Laker. I think because, you know, that's what we got to do. Anytime somebody plays well, a really cool thing to do is just be like hashtag future Laker. Like that just that shows other fan base. That's how you flex your big market muscle. Is like anytime anyone anywhere plays well, just hashtag future Laker. You just throw it in there and you just let their fan base know, like, hey, enjoy this while you have them. But here comes Jim Buss with a briefcase full of cash, and that's going to be our player now. Sorry.
This isn't even Harrison's hot take. So this is actually how he feels on this topic.
Oh no, get ready. I got a hot take coming.
So the guy I actually think has a decent shot at becoming a Laker is And you kind of took mine. I would have said Boogie as well, but I'll go off the books here and I'll say Klay Thompson. And here's why. If Kevin Durant re-signs with Golden State long term, they're getting pretty darn close to Wow. My dad's going to be proud. But the Warriors are going to be pretty close to being capped out. I mean, completely capped out, to where they have no flexibility moving forward. And I'm not saying that you know, Klay Thompson isn't the perfect fit alongside Steph Curry. And he is. He absolutely is. And part of why this game is so insufferable is because a lot of times this stuff makes no sense whatsoever. But with Klay Thompson, you know, if the Warriors say, all right, we have Kevin Durant, we have the kind of outside shooting we need. Andre Iguodala is getting a little older. We might need to replace that on-ball defense that he presented, because I would, you know, when Andre went down in these finals, that's when I first thought to myself, oh man, the Cavs might really win this thing.
Or hobbled, not went down, but hobbled.
Yeah, but he was.
He wasn't Andre Iguodala.
Right, and well, it showed how valuable he was when he wasn't, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I poke fun as much as anybody to the fact that he won finals MVP for, quote-unquote, holding LeBron to 40 points per game and almost triple-double averages in the finals 2 years ago. But his on-ball defense is absolutely crucial. So if the Warriors say, hey, we need to replace Andre Iguodala, we don't have very much flexibility to do so, let's see if we can, you know, if we let Klay walk, do we have cap space to sign a guy like that, to sign somebody like that, or, you know, make some kind of sign and trade happen, whatever it might be. I could actually, you know, I'm not saying I'm predicting it. This is like a 0.01% chance that it could happen, but Klay Thompson, future Laker confirmed.
Also, his dad is the Lakers local radio analyst, mm-hmm. and he, you know, like, he controls Klay's allowance still, I believe. I think he controls Klay's paycheck. So, you know, you start saying you know, if you're Michael Thompson and you want to watch good basketball again, you start saying like, hey, Klay, that allowance is going to get cut a little bit if you don't come down here to LA. And then Klay's like, oh, okay. Like, I guess I'll take my dog and my Harry Potter books and we'll head down to the Lakers and I'll play for them and, you know, take over from my idol Kobe Bryant. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah. It's basically going to happen is what we're saying.
You know, and I got one more. I think Kevin Durant, there is also a chance. I know he just signed in Golden State, and I even just said that before I made my pick, but he only signed a 1 year deal, and Stephen A. Smith did predict, you know, as of last year that Kevin Durant was going to be a Laker. He didn't say when. So technically he's not wrong yet. And, you know, obviously he felt pretty strongly about his source, because that was the whole thing that he threatened Kevin Durant over, saying, you don't want to make an enemy out of me. So if you're Kevin Durant and like you're heading into next offseason and Stephen A. Smith is like standing outside your house with a bat and he's just like, hey, you don't want to make an enemy out of me, sign with the Lakers. Like, I feel like that's a compelling case, especially if you're Durant and you've had injury history. You don't want to have to fight Stephen A. Smith.
Kevin Durant should troll everybody and play like NBA 2K and have like a vine of him picking the Lakers to be like, all right, am I no longer your enemy?
Hashtag Stephen A was right.
Yeah, that needs to happen. All right. So that's those takes were already pretty hot, but Harrison is going to melt those to the ground even.
Yeah. Those are going to look like some lukewarm, like stuff you just kind of like you left in the microwave after heating it up for like an hour. And it's still like, it's kind of warm, but you know, it's whatever. After you hear this one, this is some fire.
Thanks for just reminding me that I have leftover Church's chicken to get after this. Oh man, I can't wait. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Make it quick, 'cause now I'm hungry.
So we talked a lot about hashtag future Lakers, but you know, on the Team USA, but one guy that we didn't talk about because he's not on Team USA is LeBron James. He decided to stay home, but I think that, you know, there should at least be a decent chance that he's a future Laker, because I mean, people are for some reason not talking about this, but he's still a free agent. So, you know, there's like that he's out there sitting poolside waiting for somebody to come and recruit him. And the Lakers need to get on the ball. There's been a lot of talk about how the Lakers have had difficulty signing free agents. They couldn't get Melo. Adam Levine couldn't bring in Aldridge. Durant disrespected them by not even taking a meeting. Now LeBron is just sitting there, and they're just like, they're resting on their laurels. They're like, oh, no, we already, you know, maybe we don't have cap space to sign this guy. Just cut everyone. Sign LeBron. I think that's how this works, right? You gotta fire everyone if they don't get in there and get a meeting with him. It's just like he has to. It's a basic sign of respect that everyone has to give the Lakers, is they have to meet with them. And so Jim Buss, he needs to get on his racehorse and get to whatever resort LeBron is at right now, and he needs to woo him. He just goes, hey, Bronny, can I call you Bronny? Bronny, Danny boy over there, you know, Dan Gilbert. He's trying to sign J.R. Smith before he signs you. He's working on J.R. Smith's contract details, and you're just sitting here chilling. Like, you need to come to an organization that shows you some respect. They cheaped out and let Delly walk, okay? You need to come to L.A. We never would have let Delly go. Look at the sunshine. You can make some movies with Amy Schumer. Like, you could make Trainwreck into, like, a trilogy out here. We already know you got a mansion. You could just live out here if you want to. So, you know, while Dan Gilbert's still busy cleaning up the remnants of the RNC at Quicken Loans or whatever, the Lakers need to pounce. Boom. Vito's revenge, baby. You know, they just need to just bring out the Lakers chain guy, have him pop that thing, because the Lakers need to sign LeBron. Like, this needs to happen. He's still a free agent out there.
All right, so I have one issue with this take. That I just can't get over is
I don't see Jim Buss hops on a.
No, it's the only one. Honestly, it's a pretty solid take, and I don't really have any claims against it. But the one issue I have with it is Jim Buss hops on a racehorse. But what if LeBron is in like Miami or not in Miami, in Hawaii or whatever other island? How does that horse make that traverse work?
Have you seen the logo for that one movie studio with the winged horse? Like, maybe Jim Buss has one of those. Like, it's a movie studio. They're out in LA. I think it's Paramount, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
He just gets on that winged horse, and he just flies out there to Hawaii. You know, if he can't do that, or he gets on the plane with a horse. I don't know.
I works for me.
I feel like you're picking nits, man. This is a solid take. You need. I think, like, if the Lakers don't sign LeBron, like, you can't say I didn't tell him to.
No, I mean, I have very few issues with the take itself. It's just the logistics of Jim Buss hopping on a horse to get wherever LeBron is a little worrisome when there's so many other better, more viable. Ways to travel nowadays.
From what we've heard about him training racehorses, maybe they run fast enough to go run on water. I don't know. We can't rule it out.
Well, it is kind of sort of Harry Potter day today, right? So what were those creatures that they all jumped on, the winged horses that they all jumped on and those things? That
would, Pegasus?
He might own one of those.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about.
It was in the third book. Oh, Griffin's one.
Yeah. No,
well, Griffin is what they're usually called, but yeah. All right. If you're listening to this still, let us know in the comments.
You can tell it's the off season because we're debating about the third Harry Potter book and LeBron.
All right. So since this has completely jumped off the rails, we may as well quit while we're semi ahead.
We always do.
This was a lot of fun. And so go ahead and let us know what you think about Kobe never being definitively the best player, Duncan never winning back-to-back titles, our game hashtag future Laker, which guy do you think is most likely, and send us an email. You can reach me at anthony.f.irwin@gmail.com. send us a nice long explanation for why your future Laker might come true. And I might screen grab it and throw it on Twitter, because why not? It's the off season.
Also, and tweet finally, let us know what you think about players, why they should join the Lakers or send their players to the Lakers, because that works. Like, people don't know this, but those are the GMs and owners that run those accounts. So it could work.
Yeah. Everybody says they're interns, but no, it's actually like you know, Jim Buss is on the Lakers account. That's why it's so stale.
I saw Russell Westbrook tweeting yesterday about something, and somebody like to a second reply was like, come to LA. And it's like, hey, that's a good way to recruit him. Otherwise, like he probably wouldn't even think of them as an option. He's like, oh man, the Lakers. That's right. I'm from LA. Yeah. thanks, random tweeter.
All right, so this was Locked On Lakers. As always, you can find us on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the other ones that Harrison doesn't want me to mention, or else I'll get fought. You can subscribe to us, rate, and review us, all that good stuff. Enjoy what's left of the MLB trade deadline. And, we'll talk to everybody again on Friday.
All right, thanks, Anthony.